You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Benny and the Bets.
What is up, everybody? Welcome in, Benny and the Bets. Ben Heisler here, Peter Dewey of BetSided over there. This is part two. We are presented, of course, by PXG and PXG Kansas City. Pete, I am, first of all, great to have you back. Great to be able to go through the NBA Christmas slate with you. It's now a tradition unlike any other. Five games across the board. We're going to go through all of them, get some of your favorite plays on the board. If there's any props you like, we'll go through those as well. And most importantly, you know, this is there's some matchups that I think we've been waiting on for a while. A lot of these lines have come out several months ago. So I'll also be curious as we're going through these games as to whether or not there's been recent movement on them and if any particular matchups have drastically changed from when they first opened. So let's dive right in. You got your New York Knicks, 3.5-point dogs at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, I'm not seeing a total yet over at DraftKings, but historically on Christmas Day, a lot of these early games, especially with New York hosting, it's been under city. But the way that the Bucks play, given their pace, given how efficient they have been, I don't know if it necessarily feels like that's going to be the case again this year. So give me your initial thoughts on this matchup. New York has been playing better. I love the fact that they have been one of the better first quarter teams yet again this year. So tell me where you're looking for this game in particular with the Knicks at +3.5.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% that the total is going to be interesting because the last game these two teams played obviously was a crazy high-scoring game in the in-season tournament quarterfinals. But I think this is one of the ones, and this is kind of cliche to say, but I would wait to do anything about betting this game until they play on, I believe it's Friday or Saturday that they play the Bucks for the first matchup. I think it's on the 23rd, actually, because that's going to be the first time we see the Knicks without Mitchell Robinson against this Bucks team, which is absolutely massive. Mitchell Robinson, as much as people want to complain about his offense, is arguably the most important player on the Knicks. He quarterbacks their defense. He is an unbelievable rebounder, the best offensive rebounder in the NFL, in the NBA. So I think losing him and not having him in this game against Giannis and Brooke Lopez, we're really going to see kind of how this Knicks team matches up, because there's a good chance Taj Gibson and Isaiah Hartenstein are their only two options to really defend Giannis and Brooke Lopez. So as cliche as that is, I wouldn't jump on anything, because I think we're going to see some massive line movement after the first matchup. If it doesn't go in the Knicks' favor, I think the Bucks could be favored by a ton more. And then if you're thinking, oh, maybe this goes under, maybe I like the Knicks, you're going to get a better number. The biggest thing I think in this game I'm looking at is just, can the Knicks play their game instead of playing the Bucks' pace? This season so far, the Knicks, both times they played Milwaukee and both times they played Boston, they've decided to play the game at the Bucks and Celtics pace, up tempo, trade baskets. That's not how the Knicks win games. They're one of the bottom five teams in the league in pace. And when they get into these up tempo games, they're able to hang around for a little bit. And then the second Jalen Brunson or Julius Randle misses a couple shots, immediately they're down 10 points. Julius Randle had 40 points in that quarterfinal game against Milwaukee, and the Knicks still ended up losing by 20. So I think that's one thing that if they're going to play that style, it's going to be Milwaukee all day. Ben, do you want me to get into a couple bets I'm looking at, though, in the prop market where I target?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So this is the one of the first ones I'm going back to. Giannis over points. No Mitchell Robinson. I really question the Knicks' interior defense without him. I think Giannis, he's had some games where he's, you know, gone off, the 64 against Indiana. Also, at his last game, he had a triple-double where he only scored 11 points. So he kind of took a step back. I think this is a game where he kind of looks to push the ball scoring. And then the two Knicks props that I'll look at. First one is Dante DiVincenzo over threes. I'm assuming that number is going to be 2.5 now after he hit 5 threes last night. But you look at his last 6 starts before last night's game. I had taken down the stat, 2.5 made threes on 5 attempts per game, shooting 50% from three. He's been great in the starting lineup for the Knicks. And the last one I like Jalen Brunson over his points number. I'd assume it's going to be 24, 25.5. His two games against the Bucks this year, he scored 45 points at 24 points, and he took 22 or more shots in both of those games. If the Knicks do get into one of those up-tempo games, they're going to need Brunson to score as many baskets as possible. So those are kind of the leans I have for this one.
Yeah, and another thing with Brunson too is that he has that mentality where he's a little bit more of a distributor early in the game. So if you're looking at maybe a live point prop for Brunson, especially if this game is close, that's another opportunity where, especially maybe after he goes out as part of that first rotational switch where he's out of the game, you might be able to jump on Brunson at a better number. I love taking overs mid-game for finishers, and Brunson is one of the better ones in the NBA. You also mentioned the offensive rebound percentage. Boy, New York has a dominance, even over a team like Milwaukee, 29.9% offensive rebound percentage, but that will be drastically impacted without Mitchell Robinson. So I might consider a rebounding prop over for Milwaukee in this game as well, in addition to the points number for Giannis.
Yeah, I like that. I like that play a lot. The Knicks have really, I mean, they're not going to have Jericho Sims for this game because he's out 2 weeks, but they have really struggled in the non-Isaiah Hartenstein minutes to figure out what in the world they're going to do on the glass, because they were able to get away with, at the beginning of the year, Isaiah Hartenstein, Josh Hart bench minutes, where you don't really have a second forward on the floor, and you can't do that now if Taj Gibson or Jericho Sims is your secondary center. So they're kind of going to be in a tough spot against a Milwaukee team that loves to play big.
All right, next game on the board, you have the Warriors heading to Denver. Early start for the Nuggets in game two of the day. Right now, Denver -5.5. Their splits, home and road, have been very impressive, especially in Denver. Talking about a Nuggets team that is always going to be readily available, that always knows how to play in the altitude there. This is a Nuggets team that has gone 8-8 on the road compared to 11-2 at home. They've also won two games in a row. Warriors remain 13-14 on the year, and they've had some inconsistencies regardless of where they are. I know it's Christmas. I know it's a game that Steph is going to get up for, as well as the rest of the team. But do you look at this Warriors roster and say, on the road, 5.5, it almost feels like Steph's going to have to be an absolute hero in this game for them to come close?
Yeah, that's exactly kind of the way I'm looking at it. I feel like this number, I feel like the Warriors, just as a general in the market, are being valued as a title contender, and they are simply not that right now with this current iteration of their roster. I don't know how they keep this game close if Denver plays how it has at home. My favorite bet in this game is the Nuggets first quarter. I know this is one that you've seen plenty of times. This is Denver in the first quarter this season at home as a +26.1 net rating, which is absolutely insane. And we talk about the altitude. It's tough for road teams coming in there. I think they're going to get off to a hot start. You're kind of relying on, like, if you take the Warriors early in this game, is like, can Steph just be hitting from the jump? And if he's not, I don't know where the Warriors get points from. Like, maybe it's Clay, but he's been super inconsistent this year. So that's my best bet. I'll probably place that the second that market comes out, especially if it's anything Denver under -3. Like, sign me up for that. And then I'm also intrigued, Jamal Murray over points. The Warriors' defense at the guard position, little shaky so far this season. And Jamal Murray, because of the hamstring injury, he's kind of getting eased back into the rotation. He's seen like high 20s in his minutes. So we've seen his points prop around 18.5, 19.5. Maybe we get a 20.5 there. This is around 19.5. I don't mind an over here. It could turn into, like you said, if Steph is going, it could turn into a high scoring game, which means more Jamal Murray minutes. I think he's a guy that you're going to see, like, inflation for Steph and Jokic's props because it's Christmas Day. Jamal Murray might not get the same inflation. I think he's a guy to target.
Yeah, Murray's a really interesting play. And both of these teams have not been, particularly good against the spread this year, both right around 43-44%. All right, one more. You got the Celtics and the Lakers before we take our first break. You got Boston on the road, only -1.5. I know LeBron historically on Christmas has been, at least last few years, he's been better. I just think these two teams are drastically different, and I don't think Boston is going to come into an environment like LA and just lay down. I think they're far more talented. I think they're far more deep in their bench. I wasn't particularly impressed, even though the Lakers went out and won the in-season tournament. Boston's the far superior team, but it almost feels like I'm walking into a trap. I thought the line would be significantly higher.
I think it's going to depend a lot on Jason Tatum. He missed last night's game against the Kings with an ankle injury that he suffered. against Golden State. So I think if we know his status, I think this line could move in Boston's favor. It might kind of stay where it is if he ends up getting ruled out. I think he'll be okay. He finished the game against Golden State, and it was a back-to-back, so it might have just been a maintenance day. But you're right, LeBron just 10-7 straight up on Christmas Day, which is not very LeBron-like, you would think, with the winning percentage he's had in his career. But I am concerned about Boston as a road favorite, just 2-8-2 against the spread as a road favorite this season. Lakers 9-3 straight up at home, but 5-7 against the spread. This is one I'm kind of not sure which way to go in terms of a side, just because you're right, it feels like a trap of Boston at this short of a number. So I'm kind of looking, there's a couple I'm looking in the prop market. I think Sam Hauser points could be an interesting one here. I think it's good. He hasn't been shooting as well as he did at the beginning of the year, but if Tatum plays, you're probably going to see this at like a 5.5. With the amount of threes he takes, it's 2 threes. It's really not crazy. I think you could see a 5.5, maybe a 6.5 for him. And then I'm also intrigued about who that secondary tertiary scorer is going to be for the Lakers. Is it going to be Austin Reeves? Is it going to be D'Angelo Russell? I think those are guys you might have to target points-wise, because if Boston plays the way they want to, this is going to be a high-scoring game. We can kind of count on AD and LeBron to get theirs, but somebody else is going to have to step up for the Lakers if they want to keep it close. Those are a couple of things I'm looking at, but I guess the number kind of depends. Like, if it's only going to be 1.5, I'll probably take Boston, but if this gets to like a 3 or a 4, I might just take the Lakers to cover because Boston struggled against the spread on the road.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. Also, keep in mind, LeBron points over is going to be a very popular bet. He's averaged 38.5 points in his last two Christmas games. Again, we talked about it for Brunson and targeting players that are a little bit more of a distributor in the early portion of the game and then look for finishers to bet live. I think you're going to get a much better number as this game goes on with LeBron, because I could see a first half where it's, you know, maybe 7-8 points, 5-6 assists, 3-4 rebounds. Might even consider LeBron as a triple-double play, because these are the types of games that he just goes off on. And again, if you're distributing early, he knows what those stats look like, and he always shows up on Christmas. They don't necessarily win, but his numbers look good. I just think you're going to get a better value on his point prop, which is largely going to be inflated because it's LeBron and because it is on Christmas Day. All right, take a quick break. We got two more games to go. Philadelphia and Miami, as well as Dallas and Phoenix. We'll go through those plays with our guy Peter Dewey of BetSided coming up next. Stay with us. This is Benny and the Bets, presented by PXG.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, everybody. Peter Dewey from BetSided with us going through the Christmas slate of games in the NBA, looking for some plays, some bets, some angles, some props, and beyond. Another short spread here, and a bit surprising, with Miami, a team that's been very up and down this year, at home, -1.5 against Philadelphia, who looked awesome the other night. And granted, they lost at home as a double-digit favorite against the Bulls, but a lot of good teams right now listen to the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Conversation we can get into another time. Are you surprised to see Miami in this position as a short home favorite, especially given the talent discrepancy right now between these two teams?
I am very surprised, but I also have to put into perspective, we haven't seen Miami at full strength since early November. Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo just came back this week. Hero's only played in, I believe, 9 games now this season. He played the first 8 and then missed basically a month and a half. So that is something I think that could be going in Miami's favor, but the Heat are just 3-10 against the spread as at home this year. So I'm kind of against playing them here. Joel Embiid has been otherworldly this year, scoring the basketball. So I kind of lean the Sixers to win this game, especially if it's going to be 1.5. I'd rather just take them to win outright. But it's also one of those scenarios with Miami where they're a weird team to figure out all the time. I feel like they just somehow find a way to win games. But I just don't know. Like, we don't really know what we're going to get from them. Like, they haven't played together, because even when Hero was in the lineup, Caleb Martin was out that entire stretch. Haywood Highsmith was out that entire stretch. We haven't really seen this team at full strength outside of this week when they both came back on Monday. So that's really hard to kind of handicap them. I get why they're set as a favorite at home. I don't trust it given their record at home. The best bet I have in this game, though, I think, is going to be Kelly Oubre's over points, which sounds kind of crazy. But this number is probably going to be 9.5 or 10.5. He went under it in his last game, so I'm hoping we get a 9.5. But he's played about 20 minutes a game since coming back off the injury. And the big thing for me is, I talk about this all the time with points props, is usage. That almost matters more than if a player has hit a certain number of times, because you want to know that every single night they're going to get enough shots to make it happen. Kelly Oubre's last three games, he's taken 11 shots in each of them. Since he's come back from the injury, he's taken at least 9 in every game. For a guy playing 20 minutes, that's pretty solid usage when he only has to score double digits, maybe 11 points to hit a prop like this. So that's a guy I'm really targeting for this one, just because of the uncertainty on the Miami side. We haven't seen Hero, Butler, and Bam play together enough. I don't really know right now if I'm comfortable taking any of them in the prop market until we kind of see what those numbers even out with over a course of a few weeks.
By the way, if you are considering Philadelphia, they are very good against the spread on the road. They have the second best cover percentage behind only Oklahoma City, and have, I believe, the largest margin of victory of any away team against the spread. Philadelphia 8-4 this year, margin of victory of 8.1 points. And then as an away underdog, Pete, they've also been terrific. Philadelphia against the spread as an away underdog in this case, actually hasn't been that good. And they are the away underdog. So talk about a discrepancy. They've actually been very good as an away favorite, but as an away underdog, Philadelphia just 2-2 against the spread with a margin of victory of -7.5. So what that tells me is they're slaying bums on the road, but against better teams, they've had some issues. And I suppose the odds makers are looking at Miami, especially knowing that they might be all healthy, as that better team right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting line for sure. I don't know. Like, Miami, come playoff time, we know they're going to compete. We know Jimmy Butler's going to, you know, be there. Obviously, this is a Jimmy Butler revenge game, I guess. He'll treat it as a revenge game. I'm sure he'll say something about Tobias Harris afterwards or before, whenever he wants to. But the thing that really concerns me is just this Miami team in the regular season the last couple of years has been really bad against the spread, and they've been super, super inconsistent. Like, we have no idea what we're going to get from them on a night-to-night basis. We do know what we're going to get from Joel Embiid, at least recently, the last month, basically. He's been the best player in the NBA. So, I lean Philly still here. I think this ends up being a pick 'em by the time Christmas Day rolls around. I think a lot of people are going to kind of hammer the Sixers, and they might end up being the favorite.
Interesting. Yeah, a little bit of movement heading into the game. Final one on the docket, you got the Mavericks 4-point dogs on the road against Phoenix. You know, one angle that I was considering for this game is with this sort of Devin Booker, Luka Doncic budding rivalry taking place. I was thinking about a triple-double bet for Luka. Neither of these teams have been particularly good against the spread in these environments. Phoenix has not been good against the spread at home. The Mavericks on the road have been a good team, but not good as a road underdog in these particular cases. 1-4 against the spread. But I am wondering about maybe considering the Booker over on points and maybe fading points for some of Phoenix's other stars, knowing that they're likely going to try and get Booker cooking in this game.
Yeah, I could see that going for sure. I also am very intrigued. Kyrie Irving, I'm assuming he's not going to play in this game. He's been out with that heel injury, but you never know. It's Christmas Day. Maybe they pull up the Kyrie questionable on Christmas Eve, and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, Kyrie's going to be back for this one. So that's definitely something to monitor. I agree with you. I don't really love either side in this one. The Suns just lost to the Blazers this week. Like, this team is just very confusing. Bradley Beal's injuries have really kind of limited where they can go ceiling-wise. But I am intrigued by what Luka's PRA prop is going to be. It was 57.5 yesterday, Ben, against the Clippers. I did not look his exact final stat line, which I'm doing right now, but that's a crazy number. Last night he had 28, 10, and 10. So he fell short of that number. 57.5 is crazy. You have to have an insane game for that. If he is in that high 50s range, even though he's gone over, he had like a 64 and a 58 the last couple games. That might be an underplay there. I know he kills the Suns and Devin Booker, but like at some point, the number is just too high. But my favorite bet I think I'm looking at in this game is Nurkic rebounds over. The Dallas Mavericks are one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. They're 28th in rebounding percentage this year. This has been a trend over the last couple seasons. They really don't rebound. And Nurkic is going to be going up against a rookie in Derek Lively, maybe some Dwight Powell in there. Like, this Dallas team doesn't really have an elite rebounder. And Lively's been good. Don't get me wrong. These last couple weeks, he's had some really solid rebounding games. He kept Rudy Gobert off the glass pretty well against Minnesota. But Nurkic is going to be a terror to deal with down there. And he's just a much better offensive player. So I think you could see more Nurkic post-ups, maybe a miss, put-back type of scenario where he's on the glass. So that's probably my favorite prop I'm looking at here. But yeah, this one's a weird one because I don't really love either one of these teams to cover.
Yeah, and both of them have shown over the course of the season that these types of situations aren't conducive to them as well. So again, maybe it's a live bet that you take. Maybe one team gets off to a hot start and then you back the team after, you know, the first 7-8 minutes of the game if you can get a better number there. All right, final one, non-Christmas related, but it is related to Betty and the Bets. Preseason, my guy Rick Camp was on the show. I gave him my hot take that I was going to bet Coby White at 160-1 to win most improved player. I knew it was pie in the sky. He's now down to 8-1. This is Coby White. Go ahead and make that prediction now. Will he, by the time the season is done, will Coby White end up being the most improved player in the NBA, or will that award go to somebody else?
So, by my definition of most improved player, I would have Coby White probably as my one or the two right now in the race. The issue is recently that award has gone to players who have made the leap like to an all-star from being, you know, a already solid player, basically. I think Tyrese Maxey's probably going to end up running away with this award, which is very unfortunate because I think Tyrese Maxey already was a very good player, and now he's just making an extra leap this year, similar to when Ja Morant won it. So I'm kind of at Julius Randle won it. When he won it, it was like, yeah, I mean, those guys were good already. Like, I don't know if we're making the leap here. I think Coby White's definitely in the conversation. The fact that you got it at that number to open the season is unbelievable. And if he keeps playing the way he has these last 10 games, who's to say he's not going to have comparable numbers to Tyrese Maxey on a team where he could be considered the best player? I don't think that's crazy. If they trade Zach LaVine, all of a sudden, is it Coby White and then DeMar DeRozan? I don't think that's crazy to say. I think, especially the number you got it at, it's a great value. But I think he could still win the award. Like, it's not a ticket that's just out there. You're like, whatever. Like, that, it's definitely doable.
Yeah, I think the way that I'm going to have to play this is I'm going to have to go to some city where I don't have a sportsbook account, register for a new account, go ahead and just load up all the free bets and put it on Maxey and just hope that those free bets don't cash and walk away feeling like I got something out of this one way or the other. Peter, you're the best. Make sure you guys are reading Peter's points over at BetSided. It's his best bets each and every day. You can also check out all of his game previews and more across the BetSided and FanSided network. And you should be following him on X, on Instagram, wherever, at Peter Dewey 2, and of course on BetStamp as well. You're the best, Pete. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Have a happy new year, and we'll have to do this again soon, maybe as we get closer to the playoffs. You'll have to come back on for your third appearance.
Yeah, 100%, Ben. Appreciate you having me on, man. Happy holidays to you and the family. It's always great to talk to you. It was too long. We got to make this more regular thing, for sure.
Man, thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.